Praise the Lord. Hey, before you sit down, sometimes the concept that we have of God is too small. Do you follow me on that? Sometimes God is like us too much, you know, like the Greek gods and the Roman gods that were fighting and hateful. And then in our world, you know, like, oh, we've got to be careful we have a good testimony. Guys, we need to have a good testimony before God, you know, because God's glory is at stake. If we mess up, he's not glorified. Concept of God is too small. If I suffer, oh, wow, I'm suffering. Where did God go? Where did God go? I'm suffering. Or if I die, oh no, I die. I'm supposed to be here in the world to glorify God. What happens if I die? That's maybe not a good one. If I sin, whoa, how bad that will be. If I sin, if I fail, if I stumble, if I don't believe, my concept of God may be so small that it troubles me. All right, now turn to 1 Samuel 5. You may be seated, even though you're fresh from a good night's sleep, and you could stand all day if you had to. 1 Samuel 5, this is just a short word. 1 Samuel chapter 5. The Philistines took the ark of God, verse 1. Oh, no, who took the ark? The Philistines, those are the bad guys. They took the ark. The communists took over the churches. Oh, no, what happened? No, the atheists are multiplying by large numbers. What is happening to God? They've captured the ark of God. The Jews are the only ones that can touch the ark. The priests carry it on their shoulders. The Philistines stole it and put it in their pagan temple of Dagon. Verse 1. They brought it from Ebenezer unto Ashdod. When the Philistines took the ark of God, they brought it into the house of Dagon and set it by Dagon. Anybody know what the Dagon god was? Yeah, like a mermaid is half woman, half fish. Dagon was half man and half fish, like a mermaid, male form. That's the god they worship, because they were fishermen. So if I'm a fisherman, why not have a god that's half fish? Come on, let's honor the fish. We put the ark of God into the temple of Dagon. Oh, no, that's like impossible. That's the end. That's the ultimate end. There is no preacher there. There is no prophet. There is no man of God there. Just the Philistines and their paganism and God, the ark of God. Verse 3. When they of Ashdod rose early on the morrow, behold, Dagon was fallen upon his face to the earth before the ark of the Lord. He fell over. How big is your God? Can he take care of himself? How big is my God? How big is God? In the midst of our enemies, can he take care of himself? In the midst of a world that's shaking, though the mountains be removed and cast into the sea, that's catastrophic. Though there was nuclear war, there was a great tragedy, catastrophe of worldwide proportions, though the government collapsed, though the baby died, though the car accident happened, though the house went into foreclosure, though my money disappeared in a second. Who is God? That's amazing. If our God is big, like he is, he takes care of himself and what he has purposed, he will accomplish. And he's doing something, and it produces in us a hunger. I would like to know him. The God that takes care of himself, and in the presence of the enemies fall down. Let God arise and his enemies be scattered. Let truth be told, and the whole university is against you. You tell the truth, and the whole university rises up, and you are such a bad person. Let the truth do its work. The truth takes care of itself. The truth is reality. Reality, God's reality is simply straight up reality. And if you do anything against reality, you'll hurt yourself. If you go against reality, I get into trouble. If I kick against the goats, I have problems with my foot. If I tell a lie against reality, I suffer for it. If I live in sin, then I pay the price. There are the good figs and the bad figs in Jeremiah 24. And that's a beautiful chapter. Read it when you get a chance. Jeremiah 24. And he said to Jeremiah, "What do you see?" And he said, "I see good figs." And God said, "Those are the Jews that I'll take out of Babylon after 70 years. I bring them back, and they're the good figs. And then what about the bad figs? They will be destroyed. Nobody can eat them. They will be driven away. They will disappear. They'll be beaten by sword and by pestilence. They'll be gone. And those are the leaders in Israel. And those people will be gone, and I'll scatter them to the wind. They'll be history." How do you do that? Because I am God. I am the God of eternity. I am Almighty God. Know me, worship me, follow me. I will teach you. I will show you. I'll give you freedom. I'll give you liberty. I'll give you joy. I'll give you wisdom. I'll give you understanding. I am God. Thank you, Lord. They set Dagon back up on his stump. You know, so it must be something unlevel on the floor. Somebody put some wedges in there and make sure it doesn't happen again. So they did that in verse 2. Call Mike Williams to bring wedges. Verse 3, part B. And they took Dagon and set him in his place again. And Mike Williams set the wedges in the right places. Verse 4, when they rose early in the morning, on the morrow morning, behold, Dagon was fallen upon his face to the ground before the ark of the Lord. And God just said, "I'm going to take his head off, and his hands are going to be history." And the head of Dagon and both the palms of his hands were cut off upon the threshold. Only the stump of Dagon was left to him. It seems that the God put the head and the hands on the threshold of the... And maybe when you go into the temple, they are there saying, "Hello, hello, here's your God. His hands are nothing. His head is nothing. This is your God." So do you know what they did? When they worshiped in the future, they were careful not to step on the threshold. It means when you are believing a lie, you continue to invent lies. That wasn't the point, guys. You missed it. Let's read it. Verse 5, neither the priests of Dagon nor any that come into Dagon's house tread on the threshold of Dagon and Ashdod up to this day. It's like, you know, so when they go into there's a threshold, you know, they step over they don't walk on it. A blind mind lives in blindness. A blind and deceived mind has nowhere to go but in his blindness. He does not comprehend. He cannot get it. He does not understand. God hides himself from them. They cannot get it. They do not understand. They keep on in their blindness. And it's crazy, the craziness of the human heart. So that was a whole message, actually, wasn't it? Amen. You may go home now. Leave your money at the door. Okay. Now, wait a minute. What do we have? We have a video. Okay, we have a video of the persecuted church. I really want you to, and I know you do, but these are precious people.
Around the world, the body of Christ is under attack. A congregation forced out in Algeria. Bibles burned in southern India. A Christian's home destroyed in Vietnam. And in China, an unregistered church is demolished.
Just in the top 50 countries on the 2020 World Watch List, so many Christians are beaten, attacked, tormented, and killed for their faith in Jesus.
In fact, right now, more than 260 million Christians live in areas of high persecution. That's 1 in 8 Christians worldwide. Each year, the World Watch List tracks persecution against Christians around the world to help us understand what's happening in the global church and how we can pray and support our suffering family.
As I stand here in China, I can tell you that behind the numbers is a story that challenges and inspires my faith.
China is number 23 on this year's World Watch List, but that number doesn't tell the whole story. I wanted to find out the truth behind the ranking.
I've been all over China, and I can tell you that it's an incredible country with breathtaking beauty, an amazing culture, and a history second to none.
But the church here tells a different story.
Christians are increasingly being pushed underground in China. Pastors are being detained, churches are being closed, and people who have a personal faith in Jesus are being watched using technology that was never available before. The church is being squeezed in China. But sometimes, when the church is squeezed, it grows.
And China is just one country on the 2020 World Watch List. Christians around the world are being pressured, targeted, and attacked. The Christians in the top 50 countries on this year's list may be suffering, but we can stand with them in prayer and support. We invite you to join us in 2020 as we stand with our sisters and brothers around the world.
Open Doors is serving in over 60 countries around the world, standing with the persecuted church. We'd love for you to join us. We are one church, one family.
Okay, you may be seated. We're not done yet. What's on my heart is this principle of the awesomeness of God, the nature of God, and worshiping Him as we've been taught because we are born again and the Spirit has come into us. When we see the Chinese and Indian and other people, you wonder what moves them to suffer and to keep at it and continue. And the answer is they just are going on in knowing God. They may lose their property, their children may lose education. That happens, the children are removed from school. They may be relegated to another part of town, which is a slum for Christians. Christians living in a slum. If you're a Christian, the government may move you there. I've seen that. I've been standing in the ground, on the ground where that has happened. So what motivates them? How do they do this? How do they continue? despite. And by the way, it isn't that Americans have gone there and led them and taught them. That has happened, like many of us have done that. But, oh no, this is much more. This is not about us or what we have done. No, God is working in the world. God is saving. God is raising up. Remember when Billy Graham had in the Netherlands a worldwide conference for leaders? Anybody remember that? When was that, in the 1980s or 90s? Do anybody remember? He brought, 83? He brought young, whoever, and they put out money and they brought it. And guess who was one Indian that came? Young guy, Ravi Zacharias. And Billy Graham, in a way, at that place, he found him. And he helped him and gave him a platform. And what a great ministry. There are people in India on fire for God. There are people in China that will not give up. There are people in Africa that will pay any price. There are people in the Middle East, Algeria, like we saw. I met an Algerian doctor met me in Budapest one day. He came to talk to me, and I said, "How did you get saved?" He said, "Reading the Bible. I had a little library, and I had a French Bible, but I'm a Muslim, and I was brought up a Muslim. But it was something came over me to read the French Bible." And I just opened up and I just saw the word Proverbs. And I thought, I don't know, understand anything, but maybe I would understand a proverb. I started reading Proverbs, and immediately I knew this is God's word. And I said, "What's happening now?" And he said, "We meet in the mountains. We go to the mountains for a weekend or for a week. We just go there secretly. Because the government is again, we are in a lot of trouble." In the world, you have to say, how does this work? What is going on? And the answer is that the Holy Spirit does it. And this is why we are so privileged to walk with God and know who God is and trust in Him. Even when things are not good, that's okay, because we are learning. Let me show you a couple things. Please turn to... first principle is the concept of God. Very important, the concept of God. So the second thing is Philippians chapter 4. I think each one of these points could be a message in itself, but I just want to say, you can follow it with me. Chapter 4, verse 6. And I want to do a reversal of this reading. So I will read what it says, and then say the opposite. Be careful for nothing. It means anxious. Be anxious for nothing. Then let's just say, be anxious for everything. But in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. Don't pray, or if you pray, complain a lot. If you pray, don't give any thanksgiving. Don't be appreciative. Don't be a worshiper. And don't let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, verse 7. And the peace of God, you will not know the peace of God. It will not be with you. Why isn't the peace of God with me? Because I don't have any, I'm so worried, and I'm not praying, and I'm not trusting. So now I have not the peace of God, but the anxiety of men, the anxiety of people, the anxiety of the society I live in. I don't have the peace of God in persecution in China or Vietnam. Why? Because how I am thinking. Okay, go to verse 7, please. The peace of God which passes all understanding shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ. You don't have a good mind. You don't have your heart is broken and disturbed and double-minded. Your heart is not in a good place. Why? Because of these things. Verse 8. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true. No, wait a minute. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are lies. Feed on lies. You know, feed on speculations. Feed on the opinions of people. Feed on fear. Worry a lot. And be anxious for everything. Wow, that's crazy. Look at verse 8, please. Whatever is true, whatever things are honest, no. Feed on dishonesty. Feed on the corruption. Feed on the lies and the dishonesty, the pride, the arrogance. Whatever things are just, no. Whatever things are unfair. Let the unfairness just get into your bones and just live angry and frustrated because life is not fair. And just feed on that for a while and see how it turns out. What's happening here? We are being instructed on how to think because our God is above everything in this world. And our God is glorious. He is just. He is pure. He is true. He is God. Our God is not like their God. Our God is different. Our God is the God of the Holy Spirit. And he's the one that leads us in how to think. Go to the next part, please. It goes, whatever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, no. Whatever things are impure, whatever things are lovely, no. Whatever is ugly, nasty, revolting, repugnant, whatever things are of good report, no. I want to hear the gossip, the bad news, the bad things. I want to know all the bad things I can. I'm going to feed on it. If there's any virtue, no, I don't want virtuous things. I want all the other stuff. And if there's any praise, think on these things. Wow. So doesn't that change things? Well, I'm so disgusted having spoken these things, I'm finished. I go over and sit down. That's the end. So, what I wanted to talk about today, turn to a couple points. This is the third part. It's 2 Peter chapter 3, the end of 2 Peter 3. Verse 17. Hey, did you have a good Thanksgiving? We did. I hope you did. We had a beautiful time. Well, Pastor Butch and Pastor Dan out in the parking lot with food and just it was a beautiful time. And Manny was singing and I don't know how many people came. Sandy was there and Imperio and a bunch of people, 40, 50, I don't know how many, and precious talks with people from across the street, and people came. So from a bus stop, Andy picked up a guy sitting at the bus stop, right? Yeah, just sitting over there, and he brought him, and beautiful ministry. Verse 17, you therefore, beloved, seeing you know these things before. Beware lest you also, being led away with the error of the wicked. So being led away with the error of the wicked. That's a big phrase. We wonder how that relates to us. Is there wickedness in the world? Yes. Is there error? Are they wrong? Do they have wrong judgments? Or are they wrong? Are there wicked people that represent, like in Baal in the time of the Bible, or Dagon, the god of Dagon? Is there error? Is there error in our world, in our culture? Is there error? Yes. Beware lest who? You also be led away with the error of the wicked. Fall from your own steadfastness. So I leave steadfastness. I leave my, when we say I leave, it isn't as if I am like strongly leaving, it's just more drifting. Hebrews 2:1. There's four portions in the book of Hebrews on this. There's the gradual drifting away, then it gets stronger in Hebrews 3, because we can look at that too in a minute, and then two more in the book of Hebrews, because the Hebrew believers were leaving gradually. They were believers, they were born again, but under the world and the lies and the pressure and the religious pressure of the Jewish culture, and they were under this pressure to leave believing in Jesus Christ. So they were tempted to leave. They were tempted to back off, disappear. They were tempted to go away from their faith. And so here it says that how does it read? It goes, verse 17, beware. So that's a good word. Beware, just to be aware. Like, beware the bridge is out. Beware poison is in the cabinet. Beware electricity, high voltage electricity. Beware the traffic. Beware workmen alongside the highway. Beware lest you also being led away with the error of the wicked. So how do I stand in steadfastness in a wicked time? Philippians 2:14-16. How do I stand in China, where there's a lot of pressure on the believer and the church is closed down and set on fire or bulldozed and it's gone? How do I continue? How do I stand? How do I leave go with the error of the wicked, verse 17, and fall from your own steadfastness? So they had steadfastness, but they could fall from it. They were, maybe we could just say, they were solid, but they are not anymore. They were rooted and grounded, but they have fallen from the steadfastness. They were soul winners. They were evangelists, or they were missionaries. They were prayer warriors, or they were believers. They were front row note takers. They were steadfast, but they have fallen from the steadfastness. And what happened? How did that happen? How did that work? What happened in my heart? Maybe how I was thinking, I just started to think with the worry and the unlovely and the lies and the non-virtuous. Maybe I just started to think and I got filled with it. And then I just started looking at, they don't know what they're doing. I look at the church or I look at the Bible and say, I don't know that I believe that anymore. I don't know why I believe that. I don't know. I've changed. I'm different now. So what happened? They have fallen away or fallen from the steadfastness. Go to verse 18. But grow in grace. Now, this is a good word. It produces joy. Grace and joy, they go together. If you lose your joy, it's an indicator of something. If I am so burdened and heavy by my trouble. But if you look at that video, what we are seeing are our sisters and brothers that are in trouble, and for sure there are tears. But like in 2 Corinthians 8, in their poverty they had an abundance of joy. And in Acts 16, Paul and Silas were singing in the prison because God is bigger than this stuff that is in the world. The world will set the God of Dagon back up and not get it, and we will say, no, that's a lie. The God of Dagon is a lie. I don't believe in the God of Dagon. He can take a hike. I'm not interested. I've got God. And that's how we stay in this spirit and steadfastness of our faith. And we grow in grace, verse 18, and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior. So, lastly, turn to Hebrews with me, please. Chapter 2, verse 1. The Hebrews were being taught by whoever the writer of Hebrews was, we don't know, but maybe it's a brilliant book, absolutely filled with things the other epistles are not covering. Maybe it was Paul, maybe Paul, but Luke maybe writing, we don't know. But in any case, we have this insight. These Jewish Christians had to be warned. He's warning. That's what I'm doing today. I'm like giving a warning. I'm warning. I'm saying something. I'm warning. Like it's not about our behaviors. It's more about what's in our hearts. Our behaviors speak for themselves. That's important, of course. But behind it is something deeper. Like going to church is one thing, but behind it is something deeper. It's what spirit we are of. Who is Jesus? The love that he has for us and the love we have for him. I cannot turn away from him. He is too good. I cannot depart from God. It's too real. It's too precious. It's too important. Where will I go? To the God of Dagon and some lies? Where will the error of the wicked lead me? Bad figs. Bad figs. Jeremiah 24. No, I need some warnings. What would God say to us if he warned us today? I think I can't do them all, but go to chapter 2, verse 1. Therefore, we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard. Really, more earnest heed to the things we have heard. I listened to a sermon from Dr. Stevens yesterday, and I can sit in that room with my eyes closed. I have a blindfold from the airline, you know, for sleeping at night. And sometimes I wear that, and I'm sitting there, I'm just listening. And I remember Bible college. I remember decades of Bible. I've learned the Bible. Thank you, Lord. More than just the Bible, but the heart. Thank you, Lord. I want the heart of the Bible. I want the heart of God. Thank you, Lord. And just to do that for a while, it's just so precious. Take heed to the things you've already heard, what I've already heard. Peter said, I bring back to remembrance the things, 2 Peter 2:1. And I'm going to die, he said. 2 Peter chapter 1, Peter said, I'm going to die. I'm going to bring back, I want to bring you to remembrance. We heard a voice on the mountain. That's the Mount Transfiguration. We heard a voice there. He wrote it in his epistle. Memory is precious. Deuteronomy, the key word is remember. Memory is precious. Blessed is the memory of the just. Memory is important. What I read, have you read a biography about a saint of God and has it inspired you? Have you read a biography about a mission and you're amazed that these people did these things and has it inspired you? I want the high level stuff. I'm after the things that move my heart and move my heart toward God. Do you have a good devotional that you read? Do you have a simple prayer walk in your life? Do you have faith? Do you have a love language like John Williams, who yesterday we had the face-to-face, well, today we have the face-to-face, but we were at the cemetery yesterday, and such good things said about him and how much he loved people and how much he talked, so that's a precious thing. What have we heard in verse 1? And then to not let them slip, drift away, just go off. I don't do that anymore. It's over. It's gone. I mean, I don't know where it is. I don't think about it. It slipped away. I was windsurfing one time at Gunpowder. I was learning. It was my first time. I mean, I was by myself, and I put my surfboard in the water, turned around to rig my sail on the beach, and I turn around and the board is gone. Duh. The current took it away, and then I saw it out there. I had to swim out there and get it. But I just thought about this verse when that happened. And by the way, I got Bible verses for everything that happens to me. Okay, no, I don't. Okay, so are the Jews going to lose some? Yes, they might lose it. Can you lose your precious faith? Yes, I could lose it. Could you get buried in the stuff? Yes, I could get. I could have a change of mind, a change of heart. Yes, I could lose it. Don't lose it. That's the exhortation. The second one is in chapter 3, and it is verse 12. Take heed, another one. Take heed, warning, 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 flashing light, warning. Lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief. My heart. It's the heart. I don't believe in God anymore. That's a heart problem. Psalm 14:1. You've said in your heart, no God. In the King James, it says there is no God. It doesn't say that in the Hebrew. It says no God, like no, N-O, no to God. No God, like saying to God, no God. Isn't that interesting? Who does that? The fool. Because his world is being reduced to him. The fool has his world. No God. I don't want God. So his world is reduced small. Yeah, so he's a fool. But though I am a fool, there is a highway of holiness. And though they that go therein at, they that walk upon that highway, no ravenous beast can go. And though a fool, how does it go? And though a fool, he will not err. I'm a fool, but I'm getting it right. I can't believe it. I'm getting it right. It's happening. God is with me. If God is with me, then he is with me. If he's with me, then I'm getting it right. I mean, really right. In the most important, do I still get lost or lose money or do I say something stupid? Yeah, but I'm still God by his grace. He is bigger than me, us, and we are getting it right. We are walking with God. Wow. Who? God, not Dagon. God, the Almighty God, the God of grace, the God of knowledge, the God of wisdom, the God that knows, the God that gives me love and joy and peace. Somebody said to me yesterday, you know, on the devotional, they like my singing. And I go, I know it's kind of crazy because, I mean, you know, I just enjoy, we love. We have the Spirit of God. And there's nothing about us. I mean, there's nothing there. And he said this phrase, he said at work, somebody said this phrase, he's all hat and no cattle. And I go, oh, I know what that means. It's like the cowboy on Rawhide. Giddy up, how's it go? Giddy up, George, go ahead. Rawhide. Rolling high. That, what's the next line?
Keep them doggies rolling, rolling, rawhide.
Yeah, yeah, isn't that good? Now, why did I pick on him? Because one day I wanted to get refreshed and do something totally different. So I called him up. I said, can I come over to your house Friday and we'll watch two episodes of Rawhide? And I wanted to have popcorn, too. He goes, great. So we got the Lazy Boy chairs. We got the popcorn going, smothered with butter. And we watched Rawhide. All right, so those cowboys are all hat. And there's cattle. But some people are all hat and no cattle. I just like that phrase. I don't know. It's just like, whoa. Yes. But when you walk with God, wow, it's real. It's not a game. It's not a show. It's real. Thank you, Lord. That's why no matter what you go through, you see your knowledge of God is precious to you. That's why I'm not leaving. I'm not leaving that faith. I'm not leaving. I'm not falling away. I don't want to fall away. But an evil heart will mislead me. This is the second, and I'll end it with this, verse 12. It says, take heed, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. Okay, I was swimming. Boy, it sounds like I'm really doing a lot of recreation, Rawhide. What was the other one? What? Walk? What? Windsurfing, and now this time I'm swimming. Okay, so I was at the gym, and the lifeguard, I've gotten to know him, and we talk, and he's really a sharp young man, and he gets things, and but it's totally a different world like me. And so when I went to him to have a talk, sit next to him, because it's such a boring job. I mean, lifeguard in a swimming pool, you know. You know, so anyway, so he goes, you know, we don't have to talk about religion every time. And I go, okay, what do you want to talk about? He goes, I don't know. And I go, well, what's the most important thing in your life? What's important to you? So we kicked it off. We started. Yeah, we talked about it. And of course, he asked me what was, and so now we're back at religion again. So, but why did I bring that up? Verse 12, let's go. Take heed, brother, lest there be an evil heart of unbelief. Oh, yeah. And he said, you know, I don't believe. I go, I know, you don't believe in God, right? He goes, no, I don't believe. I don't believe in anything. I don't have any faith. I don't have any faith. I said, yeah, I know. You don't have any faith. That's okay. You don't have any faith. You're not a believer. But the point is that that you can be, that it can happen if you want. Yeah, I mean, if this is about God. God can give you faith. God can save you. God can show himself to you. And then I told him some stories and so on. But for him, he had no faith. For me, once I have had my faith and I'm growing in my faith, and for me to depart because in my heart, I don't want to believe anymore. So I just say, you know, I don't believe in the Bible anymore. It's not the Word of God. I don't believe in it. Well, that's very convenient for you. because you don't want to believe, so just get rid of it, of course. Why wouldn't you just get rid of the Bible? I don't believe in the Bible anymore. And, yeah, I believe in God, but I don't believe in the God of the Bible, or I'm not doing that anymore. Okay, so you're departing from the revelation of God that you already know. You already know that, but now you're falling away. And what's going on in your evil heart of unbelief? How are you thinking? Virtuously? Is there thanksgiving? How are you living? How are you thinking? You have fallen into the error of the wicked and not growing in grace, spirit, and joy, and life, and love, and knowledge of God. And that's what's happening in the world generally. And it can happen to us. But beware that that doesn't happen to you. You can decide it today. You can write it in your Bible. You can make a decision in your heart. No, I don't want that. And if I get that way, if I get hurt, those two others that are in Hebrews 6, in Hebrews 10, those other passages that are also warnings that can happen. And if it does happen to me, then I would just pray that God would humble me and bring me back and restore me and restore my soul and my humility and my sweetness and my faith, and that I would live this way, and that the life that I have started, I want to finish with how? Paul said, I want to finish my course with joy. I want to finish joy. Again, good word again, isn't it? My joy. I got the grace of God connected with the joy of God. I am forgiven and I am a worshiper of the living God. Okay, amen. Would you pray with me, please? Lord, use these words and verses to encourage us in our faith. For we are living in troublous times, and we must be established in our faith and continue in it. And turn us, and we will be turned, and show us, and we will see, and we'll stay, and our heart will be fixed on you. Keep us, Lord, and lead us. Bless our sisters and brothers in the world suffering because of their precious faith. Their faith is very, very precious to you. You call them my jewels. You said in the book of Hebrews, of whom the world is not worthy. World is not even worthy of these people. Wow. Lord, thank you for bringing us this far. Lead us all the way, all the way. In Jesus' name, amen. And then the salvation prayer. If you would like Jesus in your heart, you must take him, please. Under the conviction of the Holy Spirit, under the persuasion of God himself, come to Christ and trust in him personally. Amen.